Hello, welcome to my 18th diary entry. I've literally tried to do this entry so many times. This is like the first one that I've struggled with to explain myself properly. I think my brain's a little bit in a brain funk or something. I did get my second dose today. I almost missed my alarm. So, well, I did miss one of my alarms, and then I almost missed the actual appointment because I just passed out again for some reason. I guess I'm just in a sleepy mood, but I got my second dose. I feel okay, thank God. My arm hurts a bit more than it did last time, but I heard that that's kind of like normal. Like tomorrow I might be sick as well, and I might have to like rest again even more. I do want to go to the gym today though, but we'll see how I feel. But yeah, that's kind of how my day is going so far. Not too bad. Yeah, hopefully I can do this entry properly because I'm all over the place, the way that my brain is working. So this entry, I want to talk about body image and how COVID-19 affected my body image and things. I obviously, like everybody else, I obviously couldn't go to the gym during COVID, couldn't even exercise for a big chunk of it as much because it was cold outside, so it's like I couldn't really go for walks. I did have some stuff at home, but it wasn't enough, I guess. And also I was lazy because I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, you know, it makes you want to stay in your house and just sit in your bed when it's gross out and then everything's closed and it's just like your mood is obviously not feeling so good either. So yeah, definitely kind of had all over the place in terms of like exercising and eating healthy, and because of that, so did my body image was very much affected. So like some weeks I'd feel great and I'd feel like, oh, yay, I'm making progress. And some other weeks I'd literally feel so sad about it. And also, you know, because you're sitting at home all the time on your phone way more than I used to, you're just seeing all of these, you know, influencers and skinny, pretty, fit girls, whatever it is, on TikTok and all these things. And, you know, I don't try not to compare myself, but I feel like this year, the last year and a half or so, it's been harder not to compare myself because you're like, wow, they're doing this and that and this, and I'm sitting here, right? And so it's so much easier to look at their bodies and how they're doing and everything. I grew up in a time where the most attractive beauty standard was very slim girls, very skinny with, you know, petite little bodies. And I don't have that kind of body. I mean, I'm short, like I'm 5'2", but I don't have a skinny, naturally really thin body. And I remember growing up always thinking like, oh, I have to get skinnier and skinnier. And it was just a lot of pressure for myself. And there was phases where, again, I felt really good. Didn't feel good other times. It was a lot of back and forth. But I did struggle with it a lot. Like it affected my self-esteem quite a bit until probably like, I don't know, half of university. And then after university, I don't know what happened, but I just started feeling like more confident. Like I just didn't care. I think it comes with age, I guess, who even knows, but I was like, whatever, like even if I don't feel perfect or the standard or whatever, like this is who I am, this is what I look like, it's all good. And I just kind of lived my life in that way. And obviously I had moments where I didn't feel as happy and carefree. That's normal. But for the most part, I was okay. I felt like I was just becoming myself, being more confident. And then COVID hit and that kind of changed things. Like it took a while to like really affect me in this way. But now I find myself way more aware of my body, if that makes sense. Like I'll look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I'll just compare myself times 10, but even compare myself not to just the people online, but also to the people around me way more because I just haven't seen other people in so long. I haven't seen other bodies, other women. And I'm specifically obviously talking about women because like I'm a woman. So I haven't looked at other girls and been like, oh my God, like I don't look like that in so long. And now I'm looking at them and I'm like, I don't look like that. And then I start to, you know, feel a little bit down about it. And I've been working out for the last 3 months or so, and I went back to the gym. So I'm feeling better now, but in general, it just kind of, I thought I was past that in my life and it came back. And so it kind of like made me reflect and think about why is this such a thing? Obviously there's societal pressures, you know, confidence, all these different factors. But I think a big reason is that we don't want to gain weight, or not even just gain weight, but like we want to maintain a certain beauty standard or be close to that beauty standard because we think, keyword think, that other people will judge us, look at us differently, and thus treat us differently because of it. And we're not fully wrong. I mean, there is such a thing. I don't know if you've heard of pretty privilege, but, you know, more attractive people might get more opportunities or more respect, or people think that they're smarter just because they're attractive. It's like a whole thing I don't even want to get into, but I feel like we just assume that we have to look a certain way in order to be treated a certain way, or to at least feel good enough or worthy enough. And it's obviously horrible because none of that is true. You know, whether I gain 10 pounds or 20, I'm still me and it's okay. But there's definitely a lot of pressure from everywhere around me, from society, from internet, from whatever that may be, from commercials too, right? And yeah, I don't want to get too deep into like the world and society in that sense, but I want to talk about definitely myself, but also like how this kind of idea that like we are going to be treated differently because of our appearance and we put ourselves down, we treat ourselves differently because of our appearance, right, is not new at all. It's more amplified now, I would argue, because of, like I said, the internet. And people nowadays, you know, they also edit all their pictures and curate the pictures. They do good lighting and pose in a certain way. They take a lot of pictures in order to get one or two good ones. A lot of people also change their bodies with cosmetic procedures or other things. And I'm not here to bash anybody who does that. You know, whether you edit your pictures or get a cosmetic procedure, totally cool, totally fine with me. I don't really care. I think it's great that we can all do whatever we want to make ourselves feel good. Who cares? But then what happens is, I think when we go on social media, we just forget that there's a lot of work that people put into looking a certain way or to be posting certain pictures, and that often social media is, you know, the highlights, right? We forget that people only post the best of the best, and so do I. And it's just, you know, we naturally assume that everybody's doing so good and I'm not, and you just put yourself down more and more. So I think definitely that there's this amplification happening now, but in history, people have always been judged on their looks and made fun of it for it and treated badly and all kinds of things. And I want to focus on the story of a little girl today who has been through exactly that. Her name is Eugenia Martinez Vallejo. I again apologize if I'm mispronouncing her name. I think I watched a video, a YouTube video on her and her story, and the man who was telling the story, he was from Spain, and Eugenia's from Spain as well. So he, I think, pronounced her Eugenia, was her how he pronounced her name. So hopefully, if I do say her name, I will not be disrespectful, and I will, or I mean, I would never want to be disrespectful, but I will make sure to do it justice. So so this little girl, she was born in the 1600s, so in the 17th century. She was born in a small village in Spain, and her mother was, her parents were poor, and her mother gave birth to her when during church, like in a mass, during mass in a church. And which is kind of crazy, she just didn't have time, I guess, to, you know, go home or go to any kind of doctor. And so you know, as an infant, Vallejo, we'll call her by her last name, Vallejo had a decent appetite, and she had like some weight gain when she was like a baby or like a little kid. But everybody at the time, like, that's a really good sign, you know what I mean? It's a fortuitous sign. It's like somebody who, a girl who is, who has put on a bit of weight, who is plump, is, it's a healthy sign of fertility in the future. It's also a sign of, wealth in some ways. You know, you appear wealthy when you're bigger because you obviously have enough food to sustain yourself. You're not necessarily doing manual labor and, burning off those calories. So it was not seen as anything bad at all. Her parents were pleased. It was all good and dandy. And then by the age of 6 or so, she had gained more weight. And so she had gotten to about 70 kilograms, 155 pounds. So here's the thing. Now, when we look back, we can see the story differently. At the time, they didn't know of any kind of conditions. And now we know that there's a possibility that she might have had Prader-Willi syndrome, which is a genetic disorder. It's caused by a loss of function on specific genes, and it happens in children. Like, it starts very young. And those affected are constantly hungry. I believe it's because they have weak muscles, slow development, and so they need like the nutrients, so they're just constantly hungry. But what happens is it usually leads to obesity and sometimes type 2 diabetes. Sometimes there's some mild intellectual impairment or behavioral problems. There's also some other physical changes. Like, sometimes people with this syndrome have smaller hands and feet, or they are shorter, or they have very light skin and very light hair. And they are, for the most part, unable to have children of their own as well when they grow older. So it's definitely a syndrome that, you know, Vallejo didn't, it's not like she'd have any control over that. It's definitely also painful to experience. It's something that would definitely affect her, not only physically, obviously, but mentally as well. And to have had that at such a in a time where people didn't know or understand or anything of these kinds of conditions, it's definitely horrifying, because as you can see, I'll tell you in the story, people treated her not good at all because of it. So news of her condition spread to Madrid and to the Spanish regent Charles II in 1680, so the King Charles in Madrid. And he was apparently so fascinated by her appearance, to the point where he had one of the painters of the court create two full body portraits of her, one where she was nude and one where she was wearing like a dress, like a formal dress. And this is where it gets, it makes me uncomfortable to even say these things. But the paintings were called, there was two paintings. One was called The Monster Dressed and The Monster Nude. So, of course, as you can see, they called her the monster. They called her horrible names. And the reason for the paintings was not even just to honor her as a person, but to disrespect her, obviously, because they treated her as a monster and they wanted to almost like... it's almost like taking a snapshot of something you think is funny, and you're like, haha, I want to take a picture of it because it's funny and amusing. And that's horrifying, because they had that sort of attitude towards this poor girl. And the nude one, I haven't seen it, but it is, the idea of that disgusts me beyond belief, because she was a child, one, two, the fact that she had to stand for the portrait, most likely for probably hours when she was just naked like that, so that they could in turn make fun of her or treat her disrespectfully. And also, she must have felt physical pain. Like, for anybody to stand for hours or pose for hours like that is probably uncomfortable and painful. And obviously she had, you know, the syndrome that she probably had would definitely affect her energy levels, or even the ability to stand for so long must have hurt, you know. And it's just really sad. So she actually technically, she worked, quote unquote, at the court. They didn't pay her any money, but she was taken by the king to work at the court, and she functioned as a jester. That's what it's written here. So basically she was serving as a source of shock and amusement. Like, disgusting that they did this to her. And so basically there was like many people at the time, many monarchs and royals at the time, they would have like a group of people in their court who they thought were shocking, amusing, funny, which is, again, horrifying, just basically based on the way that they looked like. So if there was any kind of disfigured or disabled people, or even just somebody who didn't look how they would believe to be quote unquote normal, they would exhibit them for like entertainment purposes. Ew. Why was that a thing? I'm like, so, it makes me so uncomfortable, honestly. But I'm gonna power through her story. So that was her role for her whole life. Like, basically she died at like 24 years old in 1699. So she was pretty young. Obviously, she had some health issues. And so that's why she died at such a young age as well. And at the time as well, people died young more often. So there are the two portraits are in the museum in Madrid now of her. And yeah, so one of the things I just want to add to this, by the way, is that the king who summoned her and did all these horrible things to her and put her in court to be like laughed at and stuff, Charles II, he had something. He was known as the Bewitched. That's just what it says here. And he was also known, I believe this, the reason why he was known for that was because of his Habsburg jaw. He was the last Habsburg ruler of the Spanish Empire. So the reason why it's called the Habsburg jaw is because the Habsburg family, who I believe, I don't know where they come from. I think it's like Eastern Europe or like Germany area. That family, who was like a royal family, I guess, that like they married into the Spanish Empire as well. They had a lot of inbreeding going on. A lot of, you know, sisters marrying brothers, a lot of cousins marrying cousins and all kinds of things. And because of that, it would lead to, after like generations of that, it led to something called the Habsburg jaw. They called it that because that whole family, a lot of that family, had a deformed jaw because of the inbreeding and the health issues that come with it. So this man, who had a very, very clear physical deformity, made fun of and exhibited this poor girl and other people as well in the court to laugh at, to for shock and amusement, etc. Meanwhile, he also had a physical deformity. So people, this just shows you that people will, it's, people do these things. I'm guessing one, to, I definitely made himself feel better about himself. Of course, he had a sense of power. It was definitely something to fulfill probably his insecurity of some way or whatever that was. But not even more than that, it's to, it's the fact that that people do this in the first place is horrible to me, that people put others down about how they look. And this is also obviously applies to now in a lot of ways, but it's also just like the fact that he had something that clearly was, you know, visibly different compared to other people. And he made fun of somebody else with that looks physically different. It's like the fact that human beings are able to not like connect because of their differences, and can actually go against each other and treat each other in that way. That's what bothers me the most. So yeah, I don't want to go on and on and on and on and ramble forever and always. I have been. This has been a long entry, and I've been struggling to even just do it in the first place. But it's just like my heart goes out to that poor girl and the other people in that court as well. But my heart also goes out to the younger generation to come. Like, people are definitely, younger people, younger women are definitely going to feel the pressure even more than I did. And they're going to struggle in ways that I don't even know, probably, because I haven't grown up in the exact same way that they have. And it just breaks my heart to see that, like, that's how human beings can treat each other in the history. And obviously there's definitely other stories that have, that are probably worse, if not equally as bad, if not, you know, I wouldn't even say worse, because I think this is, it's just horrible. We shouldn't even compare to other anything else, really. But like, yeah, it's just like, yeah, I'm just, it just bums me out very, very deeply. And I guess, you know what, not every entry has to have some kind of enlightened conclusion, I guess, or something that I have to say that's, you know, moving anything along. I just feel sad about it. And that's a story that happened back then. And there's still a lot of pressure now. And that's heartbreaking for that poor girl and other people at the time, and heartbreaking for us now. And hopefully, I guess this will be the light note that we touch on. I will, you know, take what I've learned from these stories and realize every time I feel sad about my physical image and my body, that at the end of the day, that's not what matters.